Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
On the final day, but it's not to be, as we fall agonizingly short of the playoffs on goal difference. Now it's time to focus on the future. Welcome to Charlton Live. Yes, hello, and for the final time this season, welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. We will be looking back at our season as a whole, unfortunately, because it has come to an end after today's 1-0 victory over the Champions Hull. It's not enough to see us climb into the playoff places, with Oxford leapfrogging Portsmouth after their 4-0 win against Burton into the top six. Charlton missing out on goal difference, agonising in the end. I'm sure we'll have plenty of moments where we could have done something slightly different and maybe it would have been a different story. But that's how it's ended for us. We're not in the playoffs, the end of the campaign. And it's sad that it's come about this way, but it has. And we will look back on it. Joining me to do that, first up, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing, mate. Obviously, I predicted we weren't going to go up. So delighted to see us fall at the final hurdle.
Yeah.
No, I'm obviously joking. I'm gutted like everybody else, but you know, positive for the future, as you said. I think there are some positive signs from the last few weeks, which is good.
Only man who celebrated each of those Oxford goals more than Carl Robinson, Tom Wallin. And also joining us on the phone is Mark Newby. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I'm good. Surprised Tom didn't say that if we'd kept Johnny Williams, we'd have gone up as champions.
I do imagine that will come into the section that I've labelled regrets quite soon. But yeah, good to hear from you guys as well. So on this evening's show, then we will look back at the season as a whole. We will try and decide if it has been a successful season or not. You know, where we could have done things slightly differently. And of course, we will look back at today's 1-0 win over Hull. It was a good performance, good win against obviously a team that are the champions, and congratulations to them So we'll look back from that. Of course, we'll hear from Nigel Adkins, the Addicts boss. Had a good little chat with him after the game today, talking about the match and, of course, looking to the future. And we've got your tweets and emails to come to. And then we, of course, have our traditional end-of-season montage, a look back at everything that's gone on this year. I think it's easy to forget how far away from being a normal football club we were at the start of this season. We'll have a look back at the campaign as a whole. And we'll start doing that now. Tom, you know, we've fallen just short in the end. You know, it's disappointing. We had our chances to do it. It was in our hands and then we sort of threw it away. But, I mean, overall, how what was your overall assessment of this season?
Yeah, it's funny. When you said we've got a section coming up called Regrets, I think overall my feeling at this stage of the season is it was there for the taking. And I know we had all manner of things off the pitch that are partly, maybe fully responsible for the fact that we haven't made the playoffs. And I think at the start of the season, if I'd have been offered where we finished, I probably would have taken it. But when you reflect on the season now, I think this was a league that was there to be taken. And if you look at how many little opportunities there were, how many sloppy goals we conceded, I think if we'd have even improved our performances by 3 or 4%, we not only would have comfortably made the playoffs, we might well have made those top two places. And I think given how we started the season, certainly off the pitch, I think, you know, that would have obviously been an unbelievable achievement. But I think it was there for the taking. And so there is an element of regret there that we didn't take that opportunity. But having said all that, I don't think we were ready to go up. I said it in my tweet after the game. I don't think we've been good enough at too many times this season. And ultimately, we're the seventh best side in the division, and we've got a huge summer ahead, and we've got to look forward. You know, season ticket sales are flying off the shelves. Nigel's starting his conversations with players already. We've got an owner who is backing us now, and I think next season could be the start of something very special. So I'm trying not to be too full of regret and start to look forward, but ultimately, I think, you know, we were just so close, so close. But unfortunately, we weren't quite good enough.
Yeah, I mean, considering everything that has happened, you know, this season, Mark, and we knew about the embargoes and the crazy ownership, and then obviously Thomas coming into the last few days of the transfer window, but there was the wage cap and, you know, being having to operate under that. I don't know, I would never normally ask this question when a Charlton side has finished outside of the top six in League One, but considering everything that's happened, I mean, would you almost go as far to say, is this a successful season? Because it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, it's totally a successful season. I mean, people are going to think, oh, hold on, but you didn't win anything, you didn't achieve anything. We did. We survived. I mean, we survived. If you'd said to me, beginning of a season, which was, what, September, because everything was up in the air anyway, you know, right, this season we're going to finish seventh. And knowing what we knew at the beginning of September with the owners we had and the team we had, I'd have snapped your arm off and said, I'll take that. I will take that every day of the week. We've not had to look over our shoulders. We've played some good games. I mean, we've won a lot of games this season. I mean, 74 points is nothing to be sniffed at. Yes, we haven't ended up in the top six, but, you know, it could have gone. I think when we were all refreshing our feeds because of a court case going on and all that, and that could have, you know, possibly, you know, everything was tied up legally, but that could have gone the other way. And then where would we have been? So, no, I think you've got to look back and say, this is a successful season when you take into account everything that we've gone through.
When you look back, Tom, at the stages of this season, you know, and we've already touched upon the court cases, the uncertainty, everything that was going on at the start of the campaign. Obviously, we came out the other side of that. Thomas came in and we threw together a squad. You know, it wasn't necessarily the way you'd want to put a squad together. Ideally, you'd be doing that a lot earlier in pre-season. But we threw together a squad. Thomas, you know, gave us the ability to release ourselves from that transfer embargo, bring some players in. We went on that six-game winning streak where we didn't concede a goal for seven games. You know, including the goal that Storrs Sunderland beforehand. All of a sudden, at that point, I remember us saying, you know, if we can keep this up, we should be contenders. The fact that we were able to put a run like that together, does that suggest to you that we could have done better this season?
Yeah, and that's what I meant by my earlier answer. I think I totally agree with Mark. This season is an achievement. And just like he said, there were times over the last year and a half where I wondered whether we'd even have a club to support anymore. So I'm not going to take where we are for granted. I accept we're in League One for another year and we'll fight it out next season. But having said all that, as you say, we've proven, and these last two games, we've proven that we can go toe-to-toe with the best, in inverted commas, in this division, and we can beat them. And I'm not saying we should have got promoted out of that division because we saw what happened and where we ended up. But I just think there were enough signs this season that we could be a good enough side to get out of this league. And unfortunately, we just didn't show it enough times. And obviously, the mitigating circumstances, the ownership, you know, Innes' injury was huge. Chuck's not being able to complete 90 minutes. There are lots of different reasons as to why it hasn't happened. But like Mark, I think ultimately, whilst I do have regret because I think we could have done it, I'm not going to complain. I'm happy we've got a club. I'm looking forward to next season. And I think I put in my thing after the game that if there was a season where we weren't able to be in the stadium, for me, it probably was this one. And maybe that's harsh because those players never had an opportunity, or obviously one or two opportunities in the season to really get to know us. I haven't felt like I've connected with the squad particularly. You said they've been thrown together, and I think there has been a little feel of that, certainly from being distant. You might have a different view from being at the games, but I haven't really seen that unity. I've spoken a lot in the shows about identity. I haven't really seen an identity to this side yet. And for me, Nigel needs a summer now to work out what his side is going to look like, who's going to be in it, and how they're going to play. And if we can get that done earlier in the pre-season, as you spoke about, we had to throw them together last minute, then we've got a much, much better chance next year. So, yes, we could have done better. You're right. And that run proved that. But I think ultimately the inconsistencies and the issues surrounding the club just put paid to that, unfortunately, and that's why we didn't make it.
I mean, we are now in the section marked regrets then, Mark. So, I mean, if you were to look back at some of the moments this season where perhaps there was turning points, I mean, you know, we've come off the back of that six-game winning streak, you know, then got a point at Gillingham in you know, a fairly average performance, then went to Burton, you know, we really started to see some of those defensive howlers that blighted, I'd say, probably two-thirds of this campaign in particular. We even reacted to that with a win at Ipswich, but that felt like it was the start of a slight turn where we all of a sudden showed this soft underbelly that we had, and it started to rear its head quite often in that sort of middle third of the season.
Yeah, well, really up until the last 10 games of the season, the defence has been what's done us. I mean, we've got the same amount of goals we've conceded, amount of silly mistakes. I don't think there wasn't anyone in the back four who didn't do something which led to a goal. I mean, even you can say some of the midfield play we had as well. I think, obviously, having to play Prattley and Deji as a centre-back pairing, you know, really didn't do for us. But, you know, it all goes back to the beginning with not having a strong enough squad. You know, OK, you've lost Innes and Fainwo and Pierce wasn't fit. So you're struggling all round. I mean, I think we had to start with Charlie Barker, you know, a 17-year-old who didn't disgrace himself. But, you know, defensively, we just didn't look right. And, you know, you can bemoan the sort of like the worldies we let in. And we'd let in about, I think it's about five or six, where like someone smacked it in from like 30 yards or 25 yards, but did a mazy run. But, you know, when you looked at, you know, it's for defence, which has cost us. And I think shown keeping almost like the same back five, over the last 10 games has benefited us. And I mean, it just comes down to that over the season. I mean, we were still scoring. I mean, we, you know, we scored quite a few goals, but defensively, you're right. It was just always looked like there was a mistake in us, and we did look soft. And I think teams knew, you know, if they hit us in the first 10 minutes, that we weren't going to recover. And we didn't have that steel there. So, you know, hopefully it's something they can change in the summer, and they've spotted and they can say, right, this is not going to happen next year.
Yeah, because an inability to win games at home has been a massive downfall for us as well this season, Tom. When we got to half-time today, our 23rd and final home league game of the season, it was goalless. We didn't hold the lead, which meant that overall this season we've held a half-time lead at home twice out of 23 games, which is incredible, really. It shows that, you know, part of our problem this season has been an inability to dominate teams at home. We've won 8 games at home this season, which is the same amount that we won in our relegation season from the Championship last season.
Yeah, and it kind of links to the point Mark made about starting quickly and if we concede first. And I think when you play at home, that's where you need to start fast and you need to take a game to an opposition and you need to bully them. And season before last when we got promoted, I used the term arrogance a lot. We need to go into these games with an arrogance and thinking we're better than other teams. And we haven't really been able to do that this year for one reason or another. And just like Mark said, teams have been able to start quickly against us, and particularly at home, and that has cost us. And when you go away, you can maybe get away with soaking up pressure for a little bit, particularly in the early stages, and then look to hit teams. And we've been very good at that with the likes of Connor and even Miller and Giacomo in the back half of the season, really, you know, trying to counter oppositions. But at home, you need to take the game to opposition. You need to be on the front foot. And as you say, the stats speak for themselves. We haven't done that anywhere near enough. And whether that's the fans not being there, whether that is, you know, throwing together a set of new players who perhaps don't know the pitch and the ground and all of that, whether it's other teams stepping their game up, coming there, whatever the reason is, our home form hasn't been good enough. And yeah, ultimately, as I say, there's a number of different reasons that we haven't gone up this season, but home form over the season has just been poor. And again, that's why I go back to the point that if you're gonna have a season where you have to watch from the sofa, then it's not a bad one. And when we get back next year, I'm sure everybody will want to be the 12th man that makes a difference, because if we can put a home record together like we did in the League One season prior to our season in the Championship, then by all means, we're going to do a lot better next year than we have this year. So, yeah, it's not the only reason that we're doing another season in League One, but it's certainly a massive part of it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've seen mooted by some people, Mark, is, you know, you look at Nigel Adkins' record since she's come in, played 10, won 5, drawn 4, lost 1. Some suggesting that if he'd come in a little bit earlier, if Lee Bowyer had made his decision to walk, or perhaps if he had been fired maybe after that Blackpool game or a different game. I mean, do you think that could have made much of a difference? And we've seen spells like that under Bowe this season where we had good runs as well.
Well, if my aunt had a winkle, she'd be my uncle. You can't look at it like that. I mean, look, if you look at the stats, and so they say statistics don't lie, Hull, who have gone up as champions, lost 11 games this season. Yeah. We've lost 12. That's it. We've lost one more from the champions. I mean, above us, Oxford lost 16. Lincoln lost 13. You know, Peterborough only lost 11 as well. It's the draws which have really done us. And if he'd come in earlier, it's hard to tell, because it's the same kind of... If he'd been in before the transfer window, you know, he might not have fancied picking up Stockley. We don't know. So you can only take him from what he's done so far. And it's a great record, you know, to only lose 1 in 10. But you can't say, oh, if, because it doesn't work like that. Because if he'd come in, say, December, say Bowes had walked out or whatever, and Vinny had a transfer window, you know, he might not have wanted DJ from Swindon. You know, he might not have wanted Stockley. And they've both scored goals, and, you know, he could have brought someone else in. He could have done right. We have the team we've got. So you've only got to look at what he's done so far since he's been here. You can't go back and say what if, because football just won't work like that.
I mean, looking back over the entirety of the season and you know, trying to find these little turning points. Obviously, I've mentioned already the defeat against Burton, which we sort of did bounce back from, because we then went on to go to an Ipswich side and who finished in the top half and at one point were looking like probable challengers. Only finished 5 points behind us in the end and beat them. But then after that was that home game against Milton Keynes. And this is where I felt the season really started to unravel. You know, we were outplayed. Scott Fraser ran the show for the visitors. But it was those comments from Lee Bowyer, wasn't it, after the game. The fans had come back. It was only the second time we'd had fans in all season. They were there for the first home game of the campaign against Doncaster, where we'd lost. And then they came in for the MK Dons ones. We got beat, we got outplayed, and then Bo came out and did have a little pop. And that's when I just felt things started to sour, Tom, and I don't know if you felt that could have been a turning point. Certainly between the fans and Bo, and a lot of people will find their relationship with Bo didn't really recover from that. But I don't know if that just felt like it started to trickle into the squad, because after that game, obviously, we had that really disappointing one at Shrewsbury the next week where Johnny Williams was subbed off, and those comments from Bo, and then a couple of poor home games. Then we went to Hull after Christmas. I mean, there was the Wimbledon win in this little run as well, the 5-2. But it, for me, that felt like a real turning point this season.
I think that whole period, as you say, I mean, that Wimbledon game kind of stands out for a number of reasons. Fans back, obviously, is a certain reason that I enjoyed the game as well. And obviously, we score 5 goals. But if you look at it in the context of all those games around it, I don't think we then won again till Bristol Rovers away, did we, that 1-0? That whole period, things just, as you say, felt like they were starting to fracture. I was at the MK Dons game. I didn't like Boya's comments, but it didn't turn me against him. But I know a lot of fans were very upset about it, and I completely understand that. I think maybe he felt under renewed pressure this season because finally he had an owner that was backing him. And, you know, we've seen with his move to Birmingham that he's gone somewhere again where the relationship between the board and the rest of the club is a little bit fractured. Maybe that's an environment he thrives in, you know, with his back against the wall. It's difficult. There are so many places where we could pick it apart because the season has been so up and down. But certainly that whole period, as you say, we'd had those 6 wins, and then going into the winter, that's when the games, even this season, where I know games have been pretty relentless all the time, over Christmas you just feel like you're playing every couple of days, and it really makes or breaks teams. You see, like even Portsmouth, I think they were top around Christmas, weren't they? And you look at where they finished. So, and we didn't really do enough there. As I say, we got the win against Wimbledon, and then as I'm pretty sure we didn't win till mid-January. It again speaks for itself. If you don't win enough games, then you're not going to go up. And as you say, the Boya thing started to kick in. We didn't really, to my mind, make enough good signings in January as well. And I have to say, when the window closed in January, I didn't feel like we had a squad that was there to kick on and push on for the back half of the season. And although results have picked up the last 10 or 12 games, ultimately that's what it proved.
Now, you know, when we finish so close to the playoffs as we have done, obviously missing out only on goal difference, obviously the temptation is to try and pick a specific moment, if this had gone differently, if that had gone differently. I feel like we're going through the season here to show where there were so many different moments. I mean, I'm saying to a couple of people at the ground today, you know, people will talk about Ronnie Schwartz's penalty miss and a one-off mistake like that, or, you know, the late goal against Crewe. But the one that really stands out for me is the fact that we conceded 4 goals in one half home to Rochdale. I mean, come on, Mark. Anyone who does that, I mean, that's got to be worse than missing one penalty. It just shows how over and over this season we managed to find a way to kick ourselves when we were down and play incredibly poorly, more often than not at the Valley as well.
Yeah, this is going to sound funny. Rochdale was one of my favourite games, I think, because it showed what we did have about us and what we could do. You know, give teams a 4-goal start and then start playing. You'll always look back to, you know, things we could have done better. I mean, Chuck's getting sent off against Gillingham at 2-2 and them getting a winner then. You know, the late ones, the mistake Famro made against Wimbledon, which led to a 2-2. You've got to think, we hit the post, I think, at the last count, because we hit it again today. I think it was over 20 times this season. And you've got to think to yourself, there's some kind of curse on the woodwork. it's easy to say, oh, if only. Again, though, we are where we are. It is what it is. You know, recriminations, you know, with Ronnie, you know, you can say the keeper made a good save. I mean, Connor missed a penalty against Peterborough. Again, you know, but people tend to mention Ronnie's a bit more. Again, the late one against Crewe the other night was not Crewe.
Well, we missed a penalty against Peterborough, didn't we? But yeah, we did have the late equaliser against Crewe. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, all these moments. This was something actually on the Radio London commentary we did today, and Paul Mortimer was alongside us, obviously a former Charlton legend, and we were sort of, you know, I was pushing the point that Charlton, if you know, unfortunately had these runs this season, that's why they're not getting promoted. But Mortz was, you know, and he did want to point out, but also you get to the 96th minute against Crewe a few weeks ago, you keep that one out, you know, or you go and win your game at Accrington and win all three, then, you know, they're two games where you sort of last chance saloon and we've balls it up both times, especially that Crewe one. And I felt, you know, I said it at the time, felt so bad for Ryan Innes. And like I say, you just look at these little moments, because we had this time in the run-in, didn't we, Tom, where, you know, we beat Donny away, went up to Sunderland, which I have to say was got to be my favourite game of the season, going all the way up there and, you know, beating a Sunderland team that had gone so long without losing. You know, all of a sudden we've given ourselves a chance. And obviously we had the 6-0 at Plymouth. And you're thinking, right, we've built a bit of momentum. We're scoring goals. We're not conceding many. You know, got beaten by Peterborough despite playing quite well. And then it just shows, again, how tight it's been, that there has, it probably does come down to those two games, Crewe and Accrington, if you're looking at just in the run-in, where if those results went slightly differently, then we'd be comfortably in the playoffs. And those are the frustrations you get at full time. And obviously, you know, we have to mention Ronnie's penalty. We've sort of half mentioned it, but that is another one as well, because it's against the side that have finished in the top six.
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure after the loss to Blackpool, it's the only defeat is the Peterborough one. And I think apart from that, I don't think we've lost a game.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so it is those draws in the running that have cost us. Because as you say, we've, for the past, what, 8 or 9 weeks maybe, it's been in our hands.
Yeah, one defeat in 15.
And obviously, yeah, and you have to, if it's in your hands, obviously, you've still got to go and win every game, and winning every game is tough. But we've put a great run in towards the end of the season, to be fair, to push ourselves up there, because it was probably around that Blackpool game, maybe a bit earlier, where I called it for the first time and said, look, I don't think we're going to make it. And the boys did their best to make me look a bit of an idiot. And we almost got there. But as I say, that's why there is just that regret there, because we should have done. The league isn't very good. I've said that a lot. And whoever's playing Charlton Live Bingo can tick it off again. But, you know, those sloppy mistakes, there has just been so many of them this season. And I know, like Mark said, if your aunt had a winkle, then she'd be your aunt. But the point is that even without just one of those mistakes, we'd be in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. And we've not played very well this season as a whole. So it is just so disappointing, because we did put a good run in at the end. And ultimately, it is draws. Like the draw against Ipswich was just a terrible game. The conceding the late goal against Crewe was, you know, just so close to the end of the game. But you don't want to pick up on one mistake. I think it's a culmination of all of them. Because as I say, if we'd have just sorted ourselves out a little bit, we'd probably have been lifting the title today. Like it was that much of a difference for us, because the league was the standard it was. But ultimately, we did make all those mistakes, and we haven't made the playoffs.
Mm. A very winkle-heavy show this week. Not what I was expecting for the season finale. I mean, yeah, we've spoken about the games. Obviously, we'll come on to today's whole game in a while. I mean, one of the things I found interesting when I was going back and making the montage is hearing some of the names. And I think one player that I've particularly forgotten, Omar Bogle, you know, I mean, that sort of shows the market in which we were shopping in the summer. And when you think about the bigger picture, it's probably no surprise that we have fallen short, because there has been this sort of squad that's come in and gone out, where there have been players that were mix and match. And obviously, you know, like some Marcus Madison, another one, people who've come in and not really hit the ground running when we were shopping at the bargain basement. And that now will go into what comes next, Mark, which is obviously the rebuild. You know, that's really what everyone cares about now. As soon as Oxford went 2-3-0 up today, everyone's already thinking about the summer, what's going to come next.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be interesting this week to see the list of released players. Obviously, the loan players will go back. I know you might talk about Stockley later on and what Nigel said there. So once we've seen the released players, and we'll have a better idea of what we've got. It's difficult because, you know, all the clubs now you're going to see so many good players being released, and we're going to be, for the next month or so, it's doing that imaginary shopping in your head, like you win the lottery and you go, oh, I'd like him. Oh, he's been released, if we could pick him up. I said this, I tend to repeat this a lot, I said, but there's always players you can pick up. You know, we're going to lose some players who we would like to keep. I mean, like I say, we're not going to agree on who we'd like to keep, but we're going to lose some of them. And, you know, we'll also keep some where you're thinking, oh, I really wouldn't have kept him. I'm not sure how many have sort of like triggered clauses to get an extra year. And it also comes down to sort of like what Nigel plans with Steve Gallen and Jeddy. and what they think, you know, we need to get out of it. Looking at who's come down from the Championship, looking at who's coming up from League Two, to say, right, you know, what our competition, which of three of the four in the playoffs are going to be there next season? Because sometimes if you get the playoffs and you don't go up the following season, you know, someone's picked off your better players from those teams. And, you know, they tend to struggle again. So it's why I think it makes it a fairly interesting division. If you're not, if you don't have sort of like a team here, it's almost like a very interesting division to watch because you can never really tell. I mean, did, you know, Hull went up with a lot of points. Did they impress me today? No, they didn't. You know, but they've done the dirty stuff. They've got the wins. It's not been pretty, you know, and they'll be a mid-table Championship side. So, you know, I think it does come down to the end of the week, and then we can look and say, right, who's here, who's still here, and then you can make some decision. And of course, you know, being in League One, we won't get the first pick of loan players next season. I don't know, you know, if we'll still have the same, you know, interests with the Arsenal youngsters and Chelsea youngsters as we had. Because, you know, we had Smith on loan and I don't think he played more than sort of like half a game for us. You know, Martson will go back to Chelsea, Miller go back to Liverpool. You know, they might look, they'll probably look to loan them out to a Championship club next year, if we're honest, so we won't see them. And, you know, we'll pick up some other youngsters, but we'll be sort of like a third or fourth choice for a lot of clubs now because of the league we're in. So, you know, everything depends on who gets released by the end of the week.
Excellent stuff. Well, today's season, this season has come to a close because of the results elsewhere today. We did our part against Hull. Let's have a quick listen back to the highlights from the Hull game.
Some combine on that left. Now the ball's into the box and it's a tricky one and it's an own goal. Into his own net by White. The ball into the box was a tricky one to defend. Stockley and Anike were both there, but it ended up with, I'm pretty sure, is that why? I'm trying to now read who that is on the back shirt. It might have been Greaves, actually. Yep. Greaves ended up bundling the ball into the net. He couldn't deal with it. It was almost too close to him to try and hook it away, and he's ended up putting in the back of his own net.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable delivery from Ritter. We were just talking about giving him something to feed off. And he does this well. He drives on the outside. And he's got this great ability, Miller, to cut back onto that right foot in almost just half a yard. And it opens up enough of a gap for him to get the cross in. The cross is delightful. He bounces it in an area where a centre-half, you know, doesn't like dealing with it. He's facing his own goal. The keeper's come out to try and deal with it and can only palm it and has palmed it straight into a recovering centre-half. And it was Greaves who's popped it into his own net and we lead.
So Charlton do take the lead. We're now all Burton fans asking them to claw back a three-goal deficit.
Little jump.
Gets there, but that's the full-time whistle here at the Valley. It's a victory for the Addicts. But sadly, with results elsewhere, it means the end of the season as well. It's just not quite gone our way at certain times this season. And the Greaves own goal on 74 minutes wins us the game against the champions of League One this season. And sadly, doesn't get us into that top six. Portsmouth, we believe, have lost, but Oxford, last time we heard, were winning 4-0. And so that is the end of the season for us.
There we go, 1-0 win over Hull. You know, we heard that Oxford had gone into the lead quite early on in their game against Burton, and then obviously ran out 4-0 winners in the end. So really, there wasn't that much excitement around it. Unfortunately, I think when Portsmouth went 1-0 down, it was still only 1-0, I think, to Oxford. So that gave us a little inkling, and maybe it was 2-0 and you're thinking, oh, maybe they can get back into it. But yeah, nothing really ever materialised. My prediction that at one point at least we'd be in the top six was wrong as well. So it wasn't the most exciting thing. I mean, nice way to round off the season, I guess, Tom. And obviously great to see Liam Miller, you know, create the goal. We had enough chances with the ball at his feet to try and do something and putting across that caused a little bit of chaos in the end.
Yeah, it was that second half again was one of our better performances, same as Lincoln on Tuesday night. I think there were a lot of comparisons between the two games, and that's what I mean. If you focus on next season, I think there are a lot of positives to draw from these last few games. Obviously, it's disappointing that some of the impressive performances are from players that are probably not going to be here next year, but you know, it starts to build momentum. Adkins has had a good look at his players now, knows what we're capable of, and yeah, if we look at today's game in isolation, we've gone up against the champions and we've beaten them. And there was that McGuinness chance early on where Amos brought out a good save. But apart from that, I was never really worried by them. And I appreciate they didn't have a huge amount to play for other than I think they could have got their club record points. So perhaps they weren't at their very best. But, you know, they were still there and we still had to beat them. And I thought that second half, we played okay. It's certainly one of the more entertaining games I've seen us play this season. And, yeah, there were elements that were good. But as I say, there's only so much you can read into it because of the overhaul that's needed in the summer. But I think just slightly to kind of lead on from what Mark was saying about the transfer window, I think we're a big team in this league. And I know the likes of Sheffield Wednesday are coming down, and they're massive. But, you know, we are a big club in this league. And I think if you're a player and you're looking at the backing that we've got and the way this club is now looking, I think we're very much looking up, whereas last season we probably weren't. And so I think that does change, you know, in a player's mind. You look at DJ coming in, I think he got a 3-year deal, didn't he? And if we're offering people fairly long-term contracts and, you know, we're an upwardly mobile club, then I think that's going to be a good prospect for people. So I agree we have to shop to a level, but I don't think it's going to be the same bargain bucket that one of you mentioned earlier that it was last year. And so that's why I've got a lot of positives going into next year. And I think today's performance, it does count for something, if nothing else, just to give fans that positive end going into the summer.
Excellent stuff. Right, we did speak to the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, after today's final game of the season. Lots of stuff about the future in here. I did ask him, though, first of all, what he made of today's game as well.
The big thing is, you've just said, we won the game, which is the important thing to start off with. We played the champions. Great credit to Grant McCann, Hull City and everybody, because after relegation it's always difficult to bounce back, and they were champions and they put the full this out today. They wanted to break their club record, and it was a real competitive game, and the first 20 minutes you could see how good they are. You know, we played a 1-4-4-2 looking to stop them because they play out from the back. We tried to stop that. The diagonal balls were giving us all sorts of problems, but I must say when I changed the formation then we were far better. We were able to get a grip of the ball and play, and we won the game 1-0. Could have scored a couple more, and then who knows where that could have took us, but ultimately it was out of our hands. You know, Portsmouth lost, but Oxford has scored enough goals. It was always going to be difficult to score, you know, 5, 6, 7 goals against the champions, you know, but I was pleased the way we played in the second half. I was pleased the way we responded to how the first 20 minutes how Hull were playing, and we adapted, and you know, we created some more chances in a controlled way. It wasn't just a kick and hoof and hope for the best. It was a controlled way. I thought Miller and Mateson down that left-hand side in the second half, they looked exceptional. You know, both players on loan from Premier League clubs, and you can see that bit of class that they got. They linked up really well.
So when you came in a couple of months ago, the playoffs were still quite a long shot at that time. I mean, have you at least used this time now to assess what you think you need to change going forward for next season?
Yeah, well, listen, we've had 10 games since I've joined. Great, you know, thanks to all of the staff and the players and everybody, and the supporters have been great. We've had 10 games. We've lost one since I've been in charge, and that was our best performance against another team that got promoted in Peterborough. We just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. You know, we look at the possession stats and how we built the play. It was really, really good. But unfortunately, we've not gone and got enough goals or points to be in the playoff position. What we have to do now we know what division we're in, we can obviously reflect, debrief, but obviously look to go and build now and build on the 10 games of the short space of time I've been here, and build with the owner on how we can keep moving forward.
When do you have the conversations with the players about their future, Nigel? Will that start from this coming week? The players
Tuesday, all the players are back in on Tuesday. They'll have tomorrow off now, and I've said that. So we'll have all the players be back in on Tuesday, and then through the course of the week there'll be conversations. They know that, that where we go, because obviously people need to know where they stand and where or what's happening. And that's what we'll address through the course of the week, and that'll all be done. So the players will hear. I'll have players conversations with the players before anybody else knows what's going on. And maybe come the end of the week, you've got more of an idea, because I know you'd all be thinking, who's on the retain list, who's not on the retain list. Now is not the day for that conversation. The lads have give everything, and you can see that. And what we've got to do now we know what division we're in. Now we've got to work as a football club, the owners, the recruiting side of it, putting the team together to start pre-season and see if we can work through that, and then, you know, challenge through the stakes and ladders of the Football League, the emotions of the ups and downs, and see if we can put ourselves in a position to be where Hull City is standing now with the Championship trophy.
Jay, during the 10 games you've played some of the bigger teams, as you just said, and done very well against them. That must give you hope that you, with, you know, all the games, that you
can do one better next season?
Yeah, I'd like to think we've done well. We've implemented things and principles since we've joined. I like to think the players have got a smile on their face. They work very, very hard. And we're trying to evolve and improve all the time. So, as I said, what we'll do now is we've had 10 games. We've lost one against Peterborough, who got promoted. And I say that I thought we were very good in that game. But what we can do is reflect on things we've been building on and now look to put a team together to keep building forward to the future. There's always going to be a pathway for the youth team, I've said that. So we're mindful of making sure we got that right. The recruitment department now play a big active role in what we're doing, along with the owner.
In terms of Jaden Stockley, he's actually come out publicly in the press, I think, the last day or so, saying he'd love to stay. What are your thoughts on particularly him, maybe? Because he's kind of come out and said how he feels, Nigel, but he's under contract, isn't
he? Yeah, you just said it. He's a Preston North End player. He's got another year on his contract there. So we've got players who are on loan. And I thank all of them for that. They've been great. We've got players who are coming out of contract, players who are in contract. What we have to do now is utilise this time to think carefully on how we're looking to put a team together for next season so that we can be challenging the top end. Because, again, we want to get ourselves promoted. So that's the objective for next year. So we know that. Now we've got a period of time where we've got to try and build to put ourselves in a position to start the season and then navigate our way through, as I said, the snakes and ladders of the season.
Would you like as many loan players next season? Obviously, you can get players, as you say, that have got that Premier League, they're at Premier League clubs.
What I would say is loan players can be very good from a budgetary point of view. And we talk about the quality. And again, I'm delighted with the loan players we've had and thank them very much, because sometimes loan players can come and have poor attitudes. The five guys that we've had have been exceptionally brilliant attitudes. And I wish them all well with their careers moving forward. And it's been a pleasure to have them with us. And hopefully the experiences, what they've had, hopefully that helps them on their journey to becoming top-class players.
Yeah, Nigel, you obviously have watched Hull lift the trophy today, which, I mean, it was never going to be Charlton today. But does that give extra motivation for next season? You know, seeing this right in front of your face, does that feel like to get there next season?
Well, I've been fortunate to have won this league once before, so I know what it's like to win it. I know what it's like to get promoted being second. I know what it's like to get promoted by the playoffs, so we've got experience of it. What I can say is, for the last 10 games that I've had, it's a privilege, it's an honour to be the manager of Charlton Athletic, and we've got to make sure we do everything that we've, as a football club, with the supporters, with the community, we put ourselves in a position next year to make sure that we're doing that. And if it's not that, then we're building stronger and stronger building blocks, so for the future we are going to be in a position to keep moving forward in the right manner.
I guess today, we saw the harshness of this division, how tight it is, Charlton not making it just on goal difference. Obviously, it's not necessarily going to be an easier division next season. You'll have clubs like Sheffield Wednesday coming down. Just how difficult is it to get out of this division? Obviously, you've gotten out a couple of times.
It's very difficult to get promoted from any division, especially like this one. It's teams having come down. It's a big thing. The expectation when clubs have been in the Premier League as well, we shouldn't be in this division. Well, sorry, the reality is you are. And sometimes you just got to understand that. Now, how you put it all together to get ourselves forward. There's a great vision set by Thomas here at the football club. We want to see Alan Kerbishley over there. We want to get back to the dizzy heights of what Alan was doing, which was fantastic for this football club. But we're on the road for that now. I'd like to think the 10 games we've been in, we're building great relationship with the supporters already. They've been magnificent. Hopefully, we can get them in the stadium and enjoy getting behind the team. As I said, for the stakes and ladders of what the season will be.
You must be delighted with the record, as you say, under you. But I think it's played for, well, 1-5, drawn 4, lost 1. I mean, that's a really good return, isn't it?
Well, for me, the best performance was the one we lost.
Yeah.
Against Peterborough, who have got themselves promoted. Because, again, I'm trying to want the principle of play. And we dominated possession, got the ball in the attacking third, got the bell in the penalty area, but we didn't capitalise on the chances, to win the game. So there's lots of things to take. Always learning. I said that we'll learn all the time to try and keep improving, and that's what we're going to do. So there's some real good stuff today, and we've got to keep building on that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But that's good work from Nico to win it back for Charlton. Ball across into Shinny's pass. Shinny into the penalty area, trying to get it across. He does to Morgan,
yes!
Who scores and finishes for Charlton and puts them in the lead here at Portman Road. Lovely work by Williams on the far side and Matthews, and equally chucks an ego to keep it alive for Charlton. Eventually Shinny managed to get into the penalty area, ball back across, looked like it might have taken a deflection into the path of Albie Morgan, who buries it for the Addicts.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live, the final Charlton Live of the campaign. We just heard there from Nigel Atkins before the break, the Addicts boss, you know, time to start looking ahead. He'll have some decisions to make. Said he's going to get the players in on Tuesday. Obviously, at some point soon after, you'd expect to start hearing about the retained list and which players we've let go. And I mean, that's the question posed to us by Scott, the first tweet or email that we've got coming in, actually. He wants to know, who we'd like to see stay and who we'd like to go. And he sent us a list of players that are coming to the end of their time at the Valley, whether that be a loan ending or a contract ending. So Ian Martson, Fainwo, Smith, Stockley, and Miller coming to the end of their loan. Andrew Shinny, Anike, Watson, Prattley, Forster, Caskey, Matthews, Oshilaja, Pearson, Maynard Brewer, and Amos as the players whose contracts are expiring. So I'm trusting Scott that that's an exhaustive list, but he's put that all down for us. I mean, if there's anyone else we've missed out, let us know. But big decisions to be made there, Mark. There's got to be an element of, you know, rebuilding and from a solid base, and sometimes you want to try and keep a spine of a team. But at the same time, you know, this is a team that has failed to achieve promotion and has had some pretty poor runs this season. I mean, are you one for almost starting again? Keep one or two and then start afresh with in the transfer market and see what's out there?
It's difficult. I probably am, because as I said about a few weeks ago, you know, there's no one in this team who I'd really be sort of like disappointed that if we lost them. You know, I'd be miffed slightly, but no one which would actually sort of like tear me apart. As good as Chucks is, we know that he's going to be a 45-minute game player for whatever reason, you know, his whatever injury he carries, which he can't do that. We've got aging players there. I think there's still a role for a couple of the older squad team. I'd like Shinny to stay. He impressed me, and I think, you know, he alongside Gilby in midfield would be decent, you know, with Morgan. Obviously Jake's a different situation because he's out of contract, the club are looking after him. I think everything he was saying on his thing today, that, you know, if it comes to it, you know, if he was fit and they offered him a contract, he'd want to come back. But, you know, you don't know then if he's a free agent and someone comes in and he's fit and offers him a lot more money, he would go there. The goalkeepers is a difficult one. With Amos and Maynard Brewer both up, possibly I would offer Amos, because I think at this level, at League One, he has made the odd ricket, but I'm not worried if he's in goal. I think you've got to build from the back. You've got to say, right, who are we going to have alongside Innes? And then say, and work from there and say, right, we need someone to come in alongside him. Do we get an older head? Do we get sort of like someone younger? It's hard. It's, until we see who Nigel wants to keep, we can guess all we like, and I don't think it's really going to be much use, because as much as I'd like Chucks to stay. They might say, hold on, we need a player who, if we need him to start, you know, can start. So I'd be very surprised if we offered Chucks a contract and he took it. Hmm. That's probably my one take out of all of that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, Stockley is one who said he'd like to stay. He's come out in the press last couple of days. Tom, would you move heaven and earth to keep Jaden Stockley at the Valley?
No, I wouldn't, which might sound weird given the run he's had and the goals he scored. And the only reason I say it is because if we're going to offer him one, and I completely appreciate what he's brought to the side, what I want Nigel to ensure he does is make sure we play the right way to him. I don't like that the last few games that we have resorted at times to lumping it long. Because he offers us a lot more than that. And I think if you're going with wingers, like we saw in the last few games, and you're whipping balls into him from the edge of the box, that is effective. And we've seen that with his headed goals. But and if you are playing up to him, then get players around him. But sometimes play it up to his feet. And Brown mentioned it on commentary today. There were a few times where Amos was lumping it long, but Albie Morgan and Gilby were dropping short to receive the ball. And so it gets up to Stockley and he's got no one around him. And so this goes back to the identity point I've made throughout the season. We need to decide what sort of a team we're going to be. And if we're going to be a lump it long team, then obviously Stockley is perfect and you need to shape a team around that. But if we're going to be a team that plays through the middle, and like Mark, I think if you're keeping Gilby, keeping Shinny, keeping Albie, even keeping Jake potentially for the back end of next season, you've got so much creativity in that midfield that bypassing them to go to Stockley is not the answer. So do I want him? I don't think that he suits the type of football that I would like to see Charlton play, and I think we could play. But at the same time, I appreciate how effective he is. So it's all about how we decide to play it up to him. Mm. You know, I'd love to see us work on someone like a Ronnie Schwartz, a finisher, and try and fix a team around someone like that. But whether we can, I just don't know. It, like Mark said, it depends who else we can get in. Someone like a Connor, that sort of striker, I really like us working with something like that. But yeah, if he wants to be here, then obviously that's a compliment to us, and he's done very, very well. So I don't mean any criticism of his playing style at all.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting what's going to happen with the likes of Chucks and EK and Ronnie Schwartz. I mean, you'd have to assume he's not going to be playing much more, Ronnie, if you know, he hasn't had a run in the team this side of the year. Right, let's have a look at some more messages that have come in as well. Charlton Exile, that it was Gobbo's Oxford really hurts. Yeah, Charlton Exile was never the biggest fan of Carl Robinson when he was at the Valley. Owen says, Nigel Adkins, tricky Reds, will we winning the league next season? Rhys says, we can look at moments such as Ronnie's penalty miss or Crew's last gasp winner, but ultimately we fell short because we weren't good enough. However, the run Adkins has put together has been impressive, and I'm excited for a season where we can all be there to enjoy promotion. Jake wants to see Fainwo signed on. Yeah, it could be an option, I guess, with Norwich going up to the Premier League. Terry says, a very optimistic about next season, a new manager, brilliant owner, and hopefully some decent signings to come. Timsey sent his thanks to Charlton Live for this season, along with everyone else who's covered the club. Thanks, Timsey. No problem, it's our pleasure. Jimmy says, frustrating but entertaining season, and definitely optimistic for next year. It's all about the business we do in the summer now. Any chance of a few summer transfer window specials? These pods really brighten up my work day. If we sign Lionel Messi, then maybe I'll think about it. But I do enjoy having a little break over the summer. Fredo said, would have been nice to have gone up this year, but in reality, over the course of the season, we don't deserve it. Excited to see what Adkins can do with a full season with his own transfers. Good progress since he's come in, and we go again next year. Monty says, in reality, when the season started, I would have been delighted with seventh, but we have to get the recruitment right this summer. I would keep Matthews, Jake Forster-Caskey, Chucks, and then sign Stockley on a permanent and offer Watson whatever he wants to leave. Obviously, we haven't really mentioned Forster-Caskey there, Mark. Obviously, such sad news that he's, you know, done his ACL, but he was given the Player of the Year trophy at half-time today. I think we've been saying in the last few weeks we'd expect it to go to him. So congratulations to Jake. Difficult one, because obviously we don't know the severity of the injury. I mean, we would have loved to have given him a new contract, and I hope we are still in a position to do so, and we hope the injury isn't too bad. But, you know, injuries do change the way people do things slightly, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll just nip back to Stockley quick, if I may, because the interview which he did with Rich in the South London Press, where he said he'd like to come. So obviously Preston have obviously told him, you know, you're not in our plans, you're not in our thoughts. So he's put it out there. So, you know, that's a good thing, you know, because he's obviously liked it down here. No, Jake's thoroughly deserved. I mean, I voted for him. I mean, I couldn't really see much options otherwise. I mean, Chuck's probably for his goals. Yeah, and it's gutting that he's, you know, he reckons possibly could be back by December playing. So that's, what, seven months so to get over. I mean, it's his second one he's had, so... Mm. You know, he knows what to go through. And, you know, being out of contract, obviously, they say the club looks after him, but I think they probably look after him on the physical side, like his treatments and stuff, but it doesn't mean they're going to be paying him. So you'd hope he'd sort of, like, had enough or possibly insurance, you know, which they have, would cover everything for that. You know, he made us tick, and I think it was a real blow when he wasn't in the side. Mm. And some of the goals he scored. So it's a shame. And I thought it was a really nice touch for the players today to come out wearing the number 8 T-shirts with JFC on the front. Mm. So I thought that was a really nice touch. It's depending on how it all goes with his rehab. I mean, that's the thing about him. I'd love to see him captain the side. And it's funny because when he walked off on Tuesday night, you didn't think it was that bad, the fact that he sort of like walked off with it. So when we heard it was an ACL, everyone knows enough about football to know that they're not something you can just run off. And it's a shame. It's a shame he couldn't see the season out. So
yeah, it was a surprise to see when it did come out that he'd done his ACL. Right, Southern Comfort says, ultimately not good enough. Crazy that we've only lost 1 in 15 but still missed out. Says a lot about our form before that. Really looking forward to next season with a proper pre-season and a transfer window. I fancy us to be a force next year. Mark says, so close yet so far. John says, would have been good to sneak the playoffs, but considering what was happening at the beginning of the season, we've done not too bad. Let's hope we can go and win it next season. Another Mark says, more optimistic for long term of the club than I was last summer. I feel that we have the right manager to build a decent squad over the summer. Craig says, we were in a mess before Thomas Sandgaard, but by the time the first window shut, we had one of the top three squads in the league with Hull and Sunderland. We have underachieved in a poor league. Anyway, promotion wouldn't have been any fun not being there. And he just clarifies that he means that Lincoln and Portsmouth and Peterborough, they did have good 11s, but our squad had more depth. And then Warren says, a season of ifs. If Thomas Sandgaard had taken over earlier for the transfers, if Bowyer had left earlier, and if Schwartz had scored that penalty. Optimistic for next season. We need more creativity in midfield and a fit, prolific goal scorer. No coincidence that the top four in League One all had goal scorers who'd got 19 plus goals, and that's certainly something we lacked. Right, hello to Adam Biggs, who from the Upbeats, who hoping to see Charlton back at Wembley next season now, and points out that it's his birthday today. So very happy birthday, Adam Biggs. I hope you enjoyed your day. Ben says, I'm glad the season's over. Not really enjoyed much of it, but we need a massive rebuild. Most of the current squad can go. The only ones I'd like to keep would be Anike, Washington, Forster, Kasky, Innes, DJ, Amos and Matthews. The rest aren't good enough. Next season could be tougher. Now, this might be controversial, but Steve Gallen's recruitment for this season has been poor. Granted, not in the easiest of circumstances, in particular at the start, but our squad has been so poor all season. I just hope that Thomas Sandgaard will put his hands in his pockets in the summer and rebuild. So it's interesting, and to be fair, Tom, this sort of I think judge like probably illustrates quite nicely how I felt. Like Ben saying it's a poor squad, Craig saying we have one of the best squads in the league. I can't really decide where we are, and I'm assuming we're probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, neither can I. I mean, it was you asked Mark the question about who he'd keep and who he wouldn't, but if I can have my say on that, there are some games where I think a midfield of Gilby, Shinny, Albie Morgan, JFC is brilliant. I see Dialing JSEMI playing well, and I think that looks brilliant. And then there are other games where I think our midfield is completely toothless and we need to get rid of all of them. So I'm completely the same as you. And I think, for me, it's the fact that I haven't had a chance to get to know these players and see them live. And it is different watching it on TV. I feel when you're at the ground, you get more of a sense of what these players are about. But yeah, it was the same in my answer about Stockley. You know, he's gone and scored what he scored. And at the same time, I'm not sure if I want to keep him. Chucks has scored the most goals in the league for us, I think, or certainly up there, but can't play 90 minutes. You know, Washington came in for a huge amount of criticism at the start of the season, and he'd have been up there as one of my players of the season. So I'm exactly the same as everybody else. I just cannot figure this Charlton team out. I don't know what they're about. I don't know who's good and who isn't. I don't know who's just not fitting in a system. And it's a big job for Nige, you know, to try and get that together. I defend Gann slightly because, as you said, we were shopping from a certain pool of players and we had to do it quite late. And I think he probably got in the best players he could. I just feel that they don't all click together. And that's the problem. I don't feel that necessarily we've got a side there that is right. I feel that we've got good individual players. They've got good quality, but I think that's what Nigel needs to work on. It's about what are we going to play and how are we going to play and which players fit into that. And that probably means that some of the players we like will go. But if we get some players in that will, you know, do a job, you think of the likes of a Danny Hollands a couple of years ago, or I don't know, someone, I know Josh Cullen was exceptional at this level, but somebody there who just sits and does that work, then, you know, that could be huge for us. Or even like a Josh Parker came in. Did he score? Absolutely not. But Lyle was there to get the goals and he still did a huge amount of work and he fitted into a system that Bowyer had set up. I think we need more players like that and I don't feel we've really got enough of them this year.
Yeah, and that's what the rebuild will be all about. Right, Dom says, hi guys, thanks for the great pods you've given us all year. Cheers, Dom. That's absolutely our pleasure. Not sure on your thoughts, but lots of tweets are saying that we need a big overhaul. In all honesty, I'm not sure that's the case. I think next year we'll just need a bit more depth in quality so we aren't completely dependent on certain players performing brilliantly. I'm excited to find out what Gallen has up his sleeves. If you had told me at the beginning of the season with the whole Paul Elliott and crew debacle that we were going to finish the season with a club still in existence that just missed out on the playoffs, I'm sure most of us would have been delighted. And when was the last time we had an owner we could fully get behind in the way we can now? Not sure about you guys, but I'm excited for next season, especially when we can go back to the Valley and cheer on Big Nige's name. Gutted to miss out on the playoffs, but there are plenty of Charlton-related reasons to live, love, laugh and be happy. That's from Dom. Yeah, totally agree with that. I do still think there will have to be a big overhaul. Purely because when we read out that list of players who are coming to the end of their contracts, a lot of them will be gone anyway, so that's the case. With that, Ryan McSquared says, a bizarre season comes to an end as far as we're concerned, but we've ultimately come up just a bit short. Our wafer-thin playoff squads, playoff hopes even, literally went for a Burton very early on today. All we could do was make sure we finished with a win, which we deservedly did. Hull possibly just edged it in the first half, but after the break, we were definitely the better side. Our Triple M squad of Martson, Miller and Morgan were particularly impressive. Unsurprisingly, we looked much stronger again after Enrique's introduction. Finishing with two home wins on the spin and only one defeat since Nigel Atkins' arrival gives us an excellent springboard to go for automatic promotion next season. Now all that is needed is a much needed summer rebuild. Let's hope the Valley will be full of fans again next season, so our home form will be much improved. It's also great to hear that Liam Miller would be happy to play for us again, given the opportunity. He's made a big difference. Yeah, that's one of the controversial things that, like, people were asking me pitch side today, like, oh, who would you keep of the loanees? Someone said that, and I said controversially, obviously Jaden Stockley, but I said Miller as well. And I know a lot of people are like, you got to be mental because of his final ball, but there is something about him that I still think he dragged us up the pitch, even though he was extremely frustrating. Right, and finally, Mike Bramley says, oh well, it wasn't to be. At least we still have a club to support and an exciting future ahead under a stable owner. That's the bigger picture for me. It would have been pretty naff to have got to the playoffs and not even been able to have gone to the games. When do you think the club will officially announce who will be staying and who will be leaving? Yeah, well, I'm guessing hopefully in the next week or so, you know, when the retained list. Obviously, Nigel will be having that conversation with the players next week, so hopefully not long after that. And then Mike says, thank you for all of this season's Charlton Live podcast. Despite a crazy season on and off the pitch in more than one way, it's been great to have a bit of normal back in our lives. Have a great summer. Can't wait to get back to the games. Do you think we'll be able to go to the pre-season friendlies? I see absolutely no reason why you won't be able to go. And I personally cannot wait for the Welling game when, the pub after the Welling game, which will be very good to see a lot of familiar faces again. Right, we've come to the end of Charlton Live, not just this episode of Charlton Live, but the season for us as well. The 2021 season hasn't ended the way we wanted. It certainly didn't start the way we wanted it to, but we've come out of it with a club to support, stuff to look forward to. A few thank yous. I want to say thank you to everyone involved with the show, including obviously Nathan Lewis, Terry and Benji, who haven't been on today. But thank you, Tom and Mark, for joining me this evening.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for all your work.
You're
this
welcome,
season.
Lou.
Yeah, thanks for all your hard work. Go on, Mark.
Because I say, good luck with your getting married.
Yes. So I've got something to do in the close season, luckily. Also, want to say thank you to Glove Pup, who does all the website and that behind the scenes. The photographers, Kyle, Paul and Keith, will use all their stuff on our social media, so thanks to them. Thanks to the club media team, who assist us a lot in getting interviews, especially with the players and the management of the men's team and the women's team, of course. So thanks to those people for coming on the show and speaking to me, especially after a defeat, when I'm sure I'm the last person they want to speak to. But most of all, I want to thank the listeners for your tweets and emails, and for listening, of course, to the show throughout the season. Obviously, if it weren't for you, we'd literally just be talking to ourselves, which I do a lot, but sometimes it's nice to have people listen. So thank you so much for all your getting involved with the show. As we always do at the end of every season, it's the end of season montage now. We listen back and think of the disappointment today. And I was disappointed at full time, but like I said, when I put this montage together, it's actually a reminder of how close to the edge we were last summer, how different pre-season will feel this time around. This is now a chance to rebuild the club, you know, in a sensible way, in a progressive way, a chance to really take this club forward. I hope we will take it with both hands. I'm Louis Mendez, and until next season, thank you for listening to Charlton Live.
A group of Charlton Athletic fans have occupied parts of their stadium in a protest about the future of the club. A number of supporters managed to gain access to the boardroom at the Valley. They're demonstrating against an ongoing battle for ownership of the League One side. Police officers attended, but no arrests were made.
One of these ESI guys that can come out with any credit whatsoever. They might be friendly on Twitter, they might be nice to you if they WhatsApp you, but they're here for one thing, and it's not for this football club. The sooner they're moved on, the better for all of us.
Hello and welcome back to Charlton Live. We've had our 3-week hiatus and we're back for the big match preview. We're going to talk about the fact that still no one knows really what's going to happen in the future, but it does seem there's a potential bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Thomas Sandgaard, a man none of us had ever heard of about 3 weeks ago, now seems likely to take over the club, I think it's fair to say.
A setback on Wednesday when another potential buyer was given a temporary injunction.
Yeah, it's more like a minor nuisance.
The space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Alex, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. For its crew, Alexandra Neal, Charlton Athletic 1.
Unless you've been living underground this weekend, you'll know that Rockstar CEO Thomas Sandgaard took control of the club on Friday, ending the rollercoaster ride that has been the ESI ownership. The Dane didn't hang around, signing two players in 2 days after confirmation that our embargo has been lifted.
Squirty white stuff.
Forskaski hits it.
Oh, it's in! Caught it off the post!
Madsen gets it back, swung across. Doughty's there, heads it back again, and there's a header from Anike! And there's the goal!
Chipborne and Penrick, and Madsen gets it, does ball across, goal! Williams!
Yeah! Johnny Williams scores his first Charlton goal!
Smith, ball into the box for Anike, and he had four!
Yeah! Oh, what a header! Superb goal by Charlton!
Win over Fleetwood Town, our sixth in a row.
Two goals on US election night. Congratulations. It fits quite nicely.
No, it's obviously an interesting one. It's nice to get a couple of goals in there. Obviously, the irony is not lost on me either.
And it hits him on the bum.
You made a change in the first half. You took Omar, Bogoff and Bolchuk's and EK on. What was your reasoning behind that?
There was nothing wrong with Omar, apart from he wasn't doing what I expect him to do as a striker.
Into Shinny's pass. Shinny into the penalty area, trying to get it across. He does to Morgan.
Yes!
Who scores and finishes for Charlton and puts them in the lead here at Portman Road.
Nico comes down to Prattley with a shot. Comes across. Go, Bogle's
in!
And Bogle scores! His first Charlton goal!
So we have to mention the fans coming back this evening. It's just a horrible coincidence that the two they've been able to come to is the two home games that Charlton have lost. But you must be pleased to see them back in the stadium.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see them back in. I would like to have it to been a bit more positive from the fans. Been away for so long, I would rather them like get behind the team and try and get them going.
It'll be Norburn with the Shrewsbury penalty in the last seconds of the game. Steps forward and scores.
Williams came on and played 20 minutes and then was taken off. What was the reasoning behind that today?
Because he'd been pulled out of a tackle and they should have scored from it. Like, if you're going to pull out of tackles, then that's not acceptable.
not playing for me. If you want to pull out of tackles, you ain't never going to play for me.
It's inside onto his right foot, shooting opportunity. Washington goes for it.
Oh, what a goal!
Lovely goal by Connor Washington.
Now Anike in the penalty area. He turns. Anike goes to goal. Comes out to Foster Gaskey. And Charlton have the equaliser.
Ball, the here. Ball comes to Williams. Oh,
yeah. Johnny Williams.
Chucks Anike. Can he get a shot away? He does.
Yes.
And it's in.
Come on.
Chucks Anike has buried Charlton's four. Harrington's there. Williams there. Off the post. Yes. And Harrington on the finish. Wins the game for John.
A much more professional approach to the whole thing, and no adverts cutting you off in midstream.
Did somebody say just
me? Your delivery like a G. See, hungry dog got it.
Dream and all that sort of stuff. So,
and it's a fierce strike past Ben Amos, and Rochdale have their fourth for the game.
And EK in the box. Can he touch in the swords? He can.
Yes,
first goal for the Addicts, and it's a stormer.
We have been nominated for an award, the Football Supporters Association Club Podcast of the Year. This is the second time in 3 years we've been nominated.
Pierce heads on, Oshalaga! Yes.
Come on!
Makes it two for the Addicts.
Well, I mean, I did say earlier on Twitter that if you look up the definition of cool in a dictionary, you will just see his picture.
Just next to my one, yeah.
No, that's under another C.
A disastrous day at the Valley as Blackpool fire free past Ben Amos and we end with nine men. No discipline, no ideas, no shots on target, no way forward from here.
Has there been conversations between you and him about you being given this time to mould a team and to work out what's going to happen?
I think results play a big part in any manager's job, but all I can go by is previous conversations. When I spoke to Thomas, he understood that it was a building process.
Schwartz it is. He'll step forward to strike this. Does so, and the keeper saved it. Tips it over the bar. John will have a corner. Yeah. No, no, we won't, because the referee now has blown his whistle.
Finds Washington in the box. Washington, can he make space for the shot? Trying to get an angle. Does so, and it's in! He manages to squeeze it in between the keeper's outstretched right hand and the post, and Charlton back on level terms.
Sound the alarms. It's an emergency Charlton Live podcast as manager Lee Bowyer announces his resignation. The now former Addicts boss set to join Championship strugglers Birmingham City. The Addicts have announced their brand new manager Nigel Adkins has joined the club.
The vision for the football club was really exciting, so, and it's happened very, very quickly.
Nigel's experience is extremely important, but also Nigel's personality.
Good morning, everyone. Trust you've all slept well. We start again. It's Tuesday morning.
Taking on O'Neill, cuts back inside on the right, little touch to Jasebi, takes the shot and buries it, and Charlton are back in front.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Adkins. Fanwash has gifted Wimbledon a goal.
It was interesting, wasn't it? Obviously, with, you know, getting to know everybody, it was a game where I've had an opportunity to see the players.
Charlie Clifford, right-footed, it's in, it's Charlton 3, London Bees 0, and that surely is that for the Addicts. They will be playing Championship football once more next season.
Looks towards the far post, Innes with the header, it's Innes, it's gone in, Ryan Innes has scored! Sunderland made a meal, trying to clear it on the line.
Gilby gets something on it, Gilby again, can he finish? Yes, he can! Alex Gilby with his first Charlton goal.
I'd see, maybe we were off the playoff pace, but we're in there now. Yeah. And it's exciting.
Foster Gaskey with a header, has buried it for Charlton. Stockley's there, and there's the goal. Cuts back on his right, takes the shot, takes a deflection. Oh, and it's gone in. That's heartbreak for Plymouth. It's a lovely ball in the box, and that's a superb finish by Alex Gilby. Stockley lets it run. That's a finish from Miller. And Charlton have five.
To the box, looking for an EK.
He's found him, and he's tucked it home. Tucks an EK with a superb little finish. Tucked it past Cooper, who advanced on him to put Charlton 6-0 up. It's Fenway with the header. It's a header from Gilby! And I think that's gone through the keeper's legs. And Charlton have the
stops
lead.
In the box, so and it's sent into the corner of the net by Dale.
Charlton peeling for a push in the box, but it's not given. And there's an equaliser for Crewe in the dying seconds. Agony for the Addicts.
Charlton make it free. Palmer couldn't keep it out. Miller on the counter attack, lays it up for Chucks and EK. And despite Palmer's best efforts, it's
shot free. Lincoln
the object tonight was, can we win the game? We know the goal difference is against us, but obviously the other teams, if they win their games, we can't. Taking the season now to the last game of the season. And as we all know, anything can happen.
Now the ball's into the box and it's a tricky one and it's an own goal. Into his own net by White. That's the full-time whistle here at the Valley. It's a victory for the Addicts. But sadly, with results elsewhere, it means the end of the season as well.
The lads have give everything, and you can see that. And what we've got to do now we know what division we're in. Now we've got to work as a football club, the owners, the recruiting side of it, putting the team together to start pre-season and see if we can work through that. And then, you know, challenge through the snakes and ladders of the Football League, the emotions of the ups and downs, and see if we can put ourselves in a position to be where Hull City is standing now with the Championship trophy.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.